Greetings, saints. Many blessings to you. Thank you for joining us today for the Unleavened Bread Bible Study. And Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you that we can join you today, Lord. In Jesus' name, thank you for blessing us mightily with this revelation, Lord. And thank you for delivering your people through these hard times and being preserved from the beast. Amen. All right, I'm going to start with Preserved from the Beast 21. Yep. Last night, the Lord brought some dreams to my remembrance, and he wants us to do spiritual warfare in tongues and praise. We did this in our morning meeting and are asking you, enlarger UBM, to join us. Please pray as you read this text, you know, today. As per Father's instructions, pray in tongues and praise him for the victory. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Well, Isaac's dream I'm going to share with you speaks of our method of confusing and confounding the witches in Google, the deep state, our faction, and overseas ministries. So, we call this witches using witchcraft to spread the plague. And they are. They've been fighting for the Dems and the deep state all the way. Okay, this is Isaac Payne. He got this on 10/27/21. In this dream, I was in some type of brick government building about three stories high. I was translated to the second floor of this building where there were a bunch of desks and offices that didn't have walls. They were all in an open concept style. This room also joined another room that looked like a ballroom used to host events. There were women working feverishly, answering calls at the desks, and running around delivering supplies to other desks and collaborating with other female workers. It was utter pandemonium on the second floor. I remember phones were ringing off the hook, as every one of them were just a bunch of busybodies. Well, let me say, this reminds me of Eve's dream of the workers in our kingdom. This is the opposite kingdom, but in our kingdom, who were working feverishly on the second floor of the kingdom warehouse. Yeah, and it was to round up all the dogs, the persecutors of Jesus and his body, as in Psalm 22. And this represents the faction in the church and the state. Isaac's dream here is showing us the enemies of God are also working feverishly to fight against God's kingdom and his elect. So let us who have faith defend the kingdom of God, because the apostates will not and don't even know how. So it's left up to us. Please do. And God's asking you to join us in these prayers, okay? Well, here's a portion of Eve's dream, and then we'll come back to Isaac's dream. Eve's dream, we called factious dogs in the deep state and church rounded up and euthanized. And she got this on 10/12/21. As the police officer began explaining, I had a vision of the second floor of the warehouse, which was very well lit. There were many offices and cubicles with law enforcement support personnel talking on the phones and typing on computers and doing all kinds of office work. It was busy and bustling. And I asked the officer what all the bustle was about. He said, "A directive has been handed down from the top to round up all the dogs." Well, these dogs represent the faction in the Babylonish deep state and the religious faction that both do witchcraft, as we'll see. and they have conspired to crucify the righteous, just as it was with Jesus and the man-child in Psalm 22, 12 through 22. Many bulls have compassed me, strong bulls of Bashan have beset me round. They gape upon me with their mouth as a ravening and roaring lion. And then in 16, for dogs have compassed me, a company of evildoers have enclosed me. They have pierced my hands and my feet. I may count all my bones. They look and stare upon me. Verse 20. Deliver my soul from the sword, my darling, from the power of the dog. Amen. Let it be so, Lord. Then I saw the woman in charge of carrying out this directive. The woman represents the bride, who in Esther, as a type, is given authority by the king, representing Father God, to put Haman and his sons to death, as well as the rest of the dogs, I would say, as well as all of the other enemies who have lifted up their hands against her to kill her and her people. Well, she had a lot of authority from the top and was in charge of the second floor and all the law enforcement personnel. She was a thin woman with very straight hair and that was shoulder length, and she was standing in the middle of it all dressed in a woman's business suit with her arms folded. This woman is thin because she has gotten rid of all of her excess flesh. Her hair is straight, representing submission to Jesus, the Word, which is the straight and narrow way. Amen. Occasionally, I saw her bring out her right arm and point off into the distance with her pointer finger. And I would see many law enforcement personnel going around the city and rounding up large groups of all different sizes and breeds of dogs. So now we go back to Isaac's dream of the enemy's side of the story. As I continued to observe, I started seeing a few of these women workers slithering like snakes from one end of the room to the other. They slithered extremely fast and in straight lines, using neither their hands nor feet. What they used to propel themselves while slithering was their long black tongues. They would lick the floor as they slithered. Well, the only power that they have is their witchcraft, words, and prayers, and it doesn't stack up against the people of God when they take their authority. Right. At this point in time, they could not see me as I was invisible to them. As I observed, I began to understand why everyone was working so feverishly in a group effort. They were in distress because the plague they previously released on the world did not take effect as they had hoped. And they were trying to conjure up the strength of this plague back to its original form. However, there was nothing that they could do to bring back to life their original plan of mass destruction or depopulation. Well, let me say that currently Biden's vaccine mandate is being struck down and ruled against by OSHA and the 5th and 6th District Courts. However, the Biden regime ignored their rulings because the deep state leftists are anarchists. They can't keep a law. In the state of Tennessee, the governor just passed a bill making the vaccine mandates illegal. And this is beginning to happen in many other states, too. Also, pray for quick success. The Nuremberg 2.0 trials have already been initiated with overwhelming evidence. A team of 1,000 lawyers and 10,000 medical experts have started the Nuremberg II trial against world leaders for crimes against humanity, including their mandates of deadly COVID vaccines. Pray for that. Okay? They have plenty of evidence, but as you know, You still have to have judges that have common sense, right? I then saw the witches divert to plan B. In a panic, they began to speak cursing over the public and then created a potion and poured the contents into a squirt bottle. I remember seeing a glimpse of the periodic table and seeing the chemicals added together to create something called thylutine or toluene. I know what toluene is. No, I don't think that, of course, if you drank it, it would kill you. But something in that regard. But I'm not sure whether it was, whatever it was, it did start with a T. Okay. Well, I believe this represents the worst plague that they're planning to replace COVID-19 with. And the spray bottle, I believe, could represent the spraying from the planes, the chemtrails. I watched the witches spread out individually as each of them went to their own designated area. They began to spray many doorknobs in high traffic areas. The intent of these precise locations was because of the population density. The witches knew people would come into contact with the doorknobs and spread this conjured plague. Well, I still think it's going to come from chemtrail planes, but I'll make this point. The doorknobs represent opening and closing, binding and loosing. And it's obvious that our power through these methods exceeds anything Satan has, but we must use it. We have not because we ask not, okay? Remember, the witches in the church and state are against the Christians and constantly try to destroy them. And also, naturally, it has been proven that they have created the vaccines to be able to penetrate the eyes, nasal membranes, and even penetrate the skin through aerosolized particles. Okay. As I watched the contents come into contact with the doorknobs, it began to instantly rust and corrode the door handles and doorknobs. Afterwards, I watched as black mold, which is, of course, detrimental to humans, right, began to grow on the surfaces of everything the plague touched. Well, it was said earlier that the chemtrails, which were making people sick, had mold spores in it in order to make it pass from person to person through coughing. Yeah. Or breathing, or whatever. The scene changed, and I was back on the second floor of the building, and the joy of the Lord instantaneously fell upon me in the midst of these atrocities. I began to praise, speak in tongues, and jump up and down, thanking God. Well, that's appropriate for Thanksgiving, isn't it? Yeah. For the day he had made and the provisions he has given. Yes, we should do the same thing, folks. Praise the Lord. So, praise of God is how the enemies of Jehoshaphat and the bride, Jerusalem, were defeated. He told them to send the praisers out ahead of the army, and then God defeated the enemies of his people through their praises. That was in 2 Chronicles 20, 14 through 25. And this time, the witches could see me as they were still slithering on the floor with their black tongues. I walked up to them with great boldness and started praising God in front of them. I was saying, "This is the day that the Lord has made. He is God and God alone." I shouted many other praises in front of the witches. They instantly stopped their slithering and looked at me with total confusion. One of the witches stood before me in shock. She had black purplish hair, pale skin, and was wearing a long black dress and a black pointed witch's hat. At this point, all their evil, feverish work halted. The entire floor of witches stood confounded and halted in their progress they had made spreading this potion or plague. Well, we know the angels go forth to confound the witchcraft. There are commonly three angels stationed in my house, and one is named Jeruel, who stands above me on the second floor with a jar of anointing oil that he pours on me. And when we do spiritual warfare and praise, he is wearing a black sash and holds a long golden sword. The brethren have seen these three go out and fight for the body as we pray and send them. And you know what? They come back real quickly. You think, oh, wow, they get the job done quick. You know, they probably don't even have to leave to do the job, really, but the Lord has wanted to make a point to us. Our praises give power to our cause, and tongues give direction by the Holy Spirit, who knows more than we do about the situation, right? So I walked up to the head witch and began to praise God in front of her. She couldn't slither anymore because she was confused and her attention was on me. She had blonde hair that seemed dyed, pale skin, pale blue eyes, a long black tongue, and wearing all black garments. She seemed to be younger, like in her late 20s. I looked at her and I said, "Blessed be the God of all the universe. The earth is his footstool." I was shouting and clapping and jumping up and down and smiling as his peace was upon me, surpassing all understanding. And she began to yell and argue with me, saying, "Your God is not more powerful than mine." "No, he's not." She was incoherently babbling the same things over and over. Well, you know what praise is, right? It's bragging on God and what he has done, right? I'm talking about the promises of God are done. They're finished from the foundation of the world. We just enter into them through faith. Praise is bragging on what God has done. He has healed us, delivered us from the demons, delivered us out of the power of darkness, right? And, of course, the demons hate this. I looked right at her and said, "My God created your God, and at no point did he intend to share his power with your God. My God is sovereign, and the beginning and the end has already been fulfilled. Your God has already been judged." Then I said one last thing to her, "You will submit to Jesus." She couldn't even function for disbelief, confusion, and amazement. Well, we know that their God is Satan, and he has already been defeated. Be of good cheer. I've already overcome the world. Amen. So the second floor of witches could not pick up where they left off conjuring their evil plague because I was praising God uncontrollably. The praising of God also fixed all the doorknobs that were saturated with this potion, and all the doorknobs became as brand new. Praising God halted all their wicked plans. And then I woke up. Well, let's remember the power that is in our praises. The demons hate true praise that glorifies God. It will put them to flight in every circumstance. And please join us in prayer and praise in tongues concerning these things. You know, Romans 8:26 says, "And in like manner, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity, for we know not how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered." Amen. That's why we do it, right? And, you know, the praisers go first when Jehoshaphat divided the three enemy armies and destroyed them, right? We need to bind the witches and their assassinations of God's people. Remember, most of God's people don't know which way is up. They don't know anything about spiritual warfare, and they don't know anything about faith. So it's up to us, right? Well, like in Eve's dream, we should send the angels to gather the dogs, representing the elite, the communists, the factions in the church and state, and to bind them into a holding place to await their judgment. Amen. The Supreme Court, by the way, is ruling on the 2020 election fraud now. So that's a good thing for you to pray in tongues about right there. And pray for the failure of the COVID mandates. I know other things are in the wings, but pray for that. Pray in tongues, right? Pray breaking the witchcraft sent on people to force the jab, right? And preservation of the righteous from the plagues that are to be released by chemtrails, vaccine, and otherwise. You know, God said He would use this on the wicked and the opposers of the kingdom. And also break the power of curses against God's people. As you can see from this revelation, they have no power against our praise, our faith, and worship, and so on. So I'm going to share this to you. This is the smallpox bio-war. Globalists prepare perfect scheme to cover up vaccine deaths and cancel midterm elections by unleashing a new deadly epidemic. We know they can't win the midterm elections, but they can stop them. They could, okay? So this was given by Mike Adams Thursday, November the 18th, 2021. The good news is that the Biden vaccine mandate is almost certainly going to be struck down by the Sixth Corporate Court of Appeals. It was. So. But the rest of this is still pretty important. This will hand Biden a crushing defeat of his attempted agenda to mass exterminate the American people via vaccine bioweapons. The bad news is that once the vaccine mandate is struck down, globalists will be forced to resort to their next devastating strategy to achieve their goals of genocide and depopulation. It looks like their next weapon is going to be Marburg, Ebola, or smallpox. HIV is already in it too, by the way. Or AIDS is already in the vaccine. Smallpox is the most likely choice because it is extremely contagious and almost no one has immunity against it. Bill Gates has repeatedly warned with a creepy grin that America should be ready for a smallpox terrorism attack targeting U.S. airports. When Bill Gates warns about something like this, it's usually because globalists are planning to carry it out. Well, of course, they announce what they're going to do. He's one of them. Now, Yahoo News reported this week that vials labeled smallpox were discovered in a Merck laboratory in violation of U.S. law in the continental United States. Only the CDC's facility in Atlanta is authorized to store smallpox vials. Oh, guess where they got it from? Yeah. So what is Merck, a vaccine manufacturer, doing with smallpox vials? And who, I say, who gave it to them? So the deep state is in all of that. You wouldn't be crazy to suppose they're working on the next big bioweapons release to generate another wave of profits from smallpox vaccines. Well, of course, they're letting you know what they're doing. It's got to be a threat against the Alliance, so the Alliance will back off all their prosecutions, right? But a smallpox release by the globalists accomplishes much more than just depopulation. Burying COVID vaccine deaths and halting the 2022 midterm elections. Okay, the effect of a deliberate smallpox release by the anti-human globalists would be a covering up of COVID vaccine deaths, which are already beginning to wildly accelerate. This is true. Hospitals are filling up. Millions of people will die around the world from COVID vaccines in just the next 6 months as immune suppression, antibody-dependent enhancement, and cancer tumors growths all accelerate. The globalist cabal is desperate to distract the world from the depopulation effects of the vaccine, so they need some larger mass death catastrophe to take the blame. But I got news for you. A lot of people are waking up and they know who's doing it. Okay? They're going to kill themselves because these people are going to go out and demand that the military take these people down. Yeah. Secondarily, a smallpox outbreak would also allow the criminals in D.C. to declare a national emergency and suspend the 2022 midterm elections, where they are likely to be politically slaughtered. Yes. Current polls, if projected into election results, show that Democrats are very likely to lose the House, Senate, and numerous state governorship and state legislatures, leaving Biden or Harris with no effective power other than unconstitutional executive decrees, which the courts keep shooting down. Yeah. Thus, Democrats need a bigger catastrophe to cancel the 2022 elections. Smallpox or Marburg is their perfect choice, given that they have zero respect for human life and would sacrifice every last living American if doing so would keep them in power. They are like crazed, insane animals, willing to do absolutely anything to maintain their control. Actually, they are totally demon-possessed. That's the facts. So Bill Gates paints a picture like 12 monkeys with airport release of smallpox. And this is from Yahoo News. Bill Gates has warned governments to prepare for smallpox terror attacks and future pandemics by investing billions into research and development. The Microsoft founder suggested that the germ games could prepare nations for bioterrorism such as smallpox attacks on airports. Mr. Gates warned that bioterrorism caused by epidemics could be worse than naturally occurring ones. Why did Bill Gates specifically choose smallpox and airports for his example? Because that's the most effective way for bioterrorists, in other words, depopulation globalists, to initiate their next bio war. I'm not sure about that. I believe they're still spraying it from the sky, and that's the most effective way to get everywhere at one time. And plus, the people who have already been vaccinated are spreaders of these diseases which have been put inside them. It's a scene ripped right out of 12 Monkeys, the dystopian sci-fi film starring Bruce Willis and Brad Pitt. Furthermore, a globalist release of smallpox would likely trap many vaccine skeptics and anti-mask individuals who have become accustomed to taking few precautions in public. While COVID turned out to be little more than a renamed flu, weaponized smallpox has a minimum of 30% mortality rate and can go much higher depending upon its configuration. To survive smallpox, Americans would have to lock themselves down for an extended period of time. Perhaps an entire year with virtually no supplies of food, fuel, medicine, water, and other essentials. Many people who have dismissed the severity of COVID would inadvertently expose themselves to smallpox with devastating consequences. So, of course, he's pointing out how these people are thinking, you know. The bigger the crisis, the more the powers that be can assert their false authority and deprive people of basic civil liberties and human rights. This is why a smallpox deployment is the single most effective strategy that anti-human globalists can pursue right now to further enslave humanity and crush the United States of America. Will they really pull the trigger on this or release it? We have no way of knowing in advance, but we've already seen their willingness to unleash other horrendous weapons against humanity that are resulting in mass death across the planet. That's because they worship Satan, and they have to have sacrifices of humans to Satan in order for power. That's why this is their doctrine, their thinking. So he goes on to say, in other words, spike protein vaccine injections that are biowarfare murder weapons. Very true. According to Our World in data.org, 52.4% of the world's population has received a COVID vaccine. Wow. That's over 4 billion people. And the number is growing by nearly 30 million per day. With a 50% long-term fatality rate from these vaccines, spanning short-term, medium-term, and long-term causes of death, it means globalists are effectively slaughtering 15 million human beings per day. That's two Nazi holocausts each day, every day, as the vaccine holocaust continues to mass murder humanity. All the deaths aren't instantaneous, so it will take years for these numbers to be fully realized. But once a person is injected, their death clock is already counting down. Get full details on the smallpox scenario in today's Situation Update podcast via Brighteon.com. Okay. A worst beast plague coming upon the earth. And this was given to Eve Brast on 4/11/21. I dreamed that I was high up in the sky among the clouds, viewing a large gray plane frozen in suspended animation. I could see through the walls of the plane. The gray plane, and of course this is talking about the chemtrail spraying planes, right? The gray plane suspended in animation could represent a deep state plan of the enemy that is about to be activated that will bring more death and control over the population. I saw the pilot of the plane standing in the cockpit. He had a gray flight suit on with red, white, and blue strips of stitching that ran vertically down the sleeves and pant legs of the flight suit. He had just finished placing a white fighter pilot helmet on his head in preparation to take control of the cockpit and begin flying the plane. Well, I think the gray flight suit with red, white, and blue trim represents death coming to America, probably in many forms, through vaccines, chemtrail spraying, and rebellious uprisings rooted in anarchy and patriotic spirits, etc. The red, white, and blue on the suit represents that these are deep state American traitors. They're feigning loyalty to the United States. The white pilot helmet with internal communication represents a programmed mind for only one cause. These spirits and their multi-purposed missions are about to be unleashed on this country for a time to bring chastening repentance, a Red Sea judgment on these enemies, and then revival. Amen. She went on to say, I saw that the pilot had the face of a demon. It looked black and leathery like a bat. Oh, there it is, huh? They claim that bats were the spreaders of COVID-19. Bats are blind beasts who fly in darkness. Fits them pretty good, doesn't it? He had pointed ears that stuck straight up and a mouth full of very sharp teeth. White teeth with vampire fangs. His eyes were reptilian with slits for pupils. God's telling you how he sees these wicked people. They don't see themselves that way. You know. Vampires, of course, suck the lifeblood out of their victims and turn them into dumbed down, compliant, walking dead zombies. So this deep state death shot mandate is literally doing this to people's blood and brains. The injections suck the hemoglobin right out of the red blood cells, making a person hypoxic and oxygen deprived. They also have brain-eating prions that cross the blood-brain barrier easily and are causing people to have an onset of dementia and Alzheimer's disease. Yes. But the Lord will save his elect. Amen. Hallelujah. He sat down in the pilot's seat and took control of the steering apparatus of the plane and the controls. The plane began to move through the sky again. As the demon pilot pushed a button inside the cockpit, I watched as the plane sprayed out multitudes of tiny mechanical robots that had spider bodies. But the faces on all the robot spiders had the same demon face as the pilot. So these pilots don't believe they're, some of them don't believe that they're guilty of doing anything wrong. Okay. But they are, and this is how God sees them. This spirit will replicate itself and give many the spiritual mark of the beast. A mind of the flesh and works of the flesh. And of course, this is their experiment. You know, I'm not saying that this is the mark of the beast that comes in the middle of the tribulation period, but they are wanting to do this now. Okay. And they're not going to be totally successful, and it will come back in the middle of the tribulation period. These tiny robotic enemies take over the minds of men. And we know now that these tiny robots are graphene oxide nanoparticles that self-assemble and then expose to external frequencies from smartphones and 5G towers. Their technology is given to men by demons. Men. He was spraying them down upon the earth below to go throughout the earth and harm and kill the people. I knew in the dream that this was a much worse plague or judgment that was being unleashed upon the people. Well, we know that this can only harm those who dwell upon the earth and are earthly. God's bride and the elect who dwell in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus will only look with their eyes and see the reward of the wicked, as promised in Psalm 91. And then she said, I woke up. Yeah. Well, I'm going to share one from way back. This is from 1994, Annette Rich. And we called it Escaping the Beast Plagues. Good advice here. Pay attention. You don't have to receive plagues. Jesus already delivered us from plagues. Remember Psalm 91, right? I did not want to get up, but the Spirit of the Lord would not let me stay in bed and urged me to get up and write down this dream. I dreamed there was an order given that everyone was to register. All people with degrees and knowledge had to declare these facts. Well, this is what communists do when they take over, and they want to get rid of the people with brains because they consider them a threat. So remember this. These are the communists who are attempting a takeover now. So could this registration be the vaccine passport that the deep state wants us to have to be able to participate in the global economy and travel and so on? Also, it has already been written in the Patriot Act that was passed after 9/11 that FEMA would be required every or would require everyone with special skills and medical knowledge to report these facts to the government in preparation for involuntary recruitment against the will of the people. That's what they're saying. Okay. But that ain't the way it works when communists come on board. They dig a deep hole and they put people in them. We then had to be sure our homes were airtight around the doors and windows, representing the lockdowns that occurred during 2020 and future lockdowns due to greater plagues being released upon the population. COVID-21 was found in the Evergreen ship. The deep state are not only depopulationists, but they need money that comes from their never-ending vaccines. And this will achieve complete and total compliance of the people, eventually forcing them and funneling them into the beast system before they die. Of course, God's got other plans for the righteous who dwell in the heavenlies and not upon the earth, right? Okay, then we had to go rally at an open-air stadium. There were many, many people. The masses were being target are gathered unto the beast and his kingdom in this effort here. All of a sudden I started to say, make it short, make it short. Others joined in and this saying became a throng. In other words, time to get out of here. Matthew 24:22-24 says, and except those days had been shortened, no flesh should have been saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, lo, here is the Christ, or here, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, so as to lead astray, if possible, even the elect. Behold, I have told you beforehand. I needed to get out of there and started to make comments such as, quote, I am God's child. The air is purified around me. The angels of the Lord are around me. The blood of Jesus saves me, unquote. Yeah. So remember this when sprayed by chemtrails, which is pretty common, and the plagues that are coming. To poison bodies and food and water, etc. Remember this. This is God-given instructions here. I had other people around me and many behind me. Some I knew and others I did not. Well, you know, the multitudes need to know how to escape the curse through repentance and faith in the promises. There is almost no faith among the majority of the people of God. Nor do they know that you have to believe with your heart and confess with your mouth your salvation to see it manifested. And I'm talking about salvation from these plagues. Okay? Believe and confess. Well, birds fell straight out of the sky, dead. People fell dead, and many were getting weak as we marched straight on. I kept repeating the above sayings. Amen. And you can do it too. And also Psalm 91:5-11. Thou shalt not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day, for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor the destruction that wasteth at noonday. 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes shalt thou behold and see the reward of the wicked. For thou, O Lord, art my refuge. Thou hast made the Most High thy habitation. Notice this, confession. For thou, O Lord, art my refuge. Good confession. Here's the answer. That thou hast made the Most High thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy tent. For he will give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Let me warn you against fear. This is faith. This is how it works right here. This is how God empowers people. Fear is faith in reverse. It's faith in the curse and faith in the devil, and it fulfills things. Job said, "The thing I greatly feared has come upon me." Here and there, someone said, "I can't do it anymore." Well, many who start out with us will fall away from the faith and perish in these end times because they walk by sight and not by faith. I kept walking and said, "That's not a worthy statement of a child of God. Repeat what I say." And then I would repeat the above and other scriptures. I was urged from within to keep my eyes straight ahead and not upon the death. I urged others to do the same. We must keep our eyes on the promises of God and not on the curses all around us. Remember the serpent on the pole in the wilderness. When they looked, they were healed of the fiery serpents. When they looked at the serpent on the pole, got it off their snake bite and on the serpent on the pole, they were healed. Our eye must be single. There was a white film coming down over everything. It covered trees and was almost illuminative. It also felt like it was giving health, strength, and light, and helped us to walk ahead. Well, we know the Lord will supernaturally counteract the bad chemtrails with His Spirit and discernment for those of us who love His truth and Word. He will light our way through the dark times of the beast, right? And now we're starting to see why Deagle.com's predictions on population in the United States may be truer after all, right, than people thought. And we know in the book of Revelations that there is a great depopulation. And some of these people that are infected now, they may take years to die, in which case they would be in the tribulation. And this report of Deagle.com, we'll put it here so you can see it, was last updated on February 26, 2020. Yep. Well, we need to be ready. And by staying close to Jesus at all times, and in prayer, and praying in tongues, and seeking His wisdom and discernment, especially now. That's why I would stay prayed up, because we never know what's coming next, and we don't want to be deceived, right? So here's another one. The new leadership, spiritual and physical. And this was given to Eve Brast on 11-11-16. And this is a portion of that. David was dressed in an ivory-colored suit and white shirt. There were about 15 or 20 government agents gathered all around the podium. Well, the spiritual government agents, of course, are the angels, right? The agents were waiting for President-elect David, representing the Man-Child Ministries, to give them their orders to arrest the criminals in government and church, among other things. And this is the time when the criminals will be rounded up. And they are being rounded up, by the way. Over all the stage, among the agents were many empty cardboard boxes that had been opened up and were ready to be packed up. As David stood at the podium, he began motioning with his index finger to each agent and giving them their orders one at a time. And this is not done in the physical, but of course by the authority in the spiritual realm. I understood that he was sending them throughout Washington, D.C. to find all the evil, wicked people in the government and flush them out of their hiding places and send them packing. I then had a vision of corrupt government officials hiding under their desks in fetal positions. They were terrified and paralyzed with fear and couldn't function anymore. Well, let us, through the authority given to us, root out the corruption and send them packing. A little further down, Father is confirming that the body of David has power to send forth the angels to expose and eject, I might add, the evil. He is answering our prayers of faith. The angels fulfill what the saints speak in agreement with God. Hebrews 1 and 13 says, "But of which of the angels hath he said at any time, Sit thou at my right hand, till I make thine enemies the footstool of my feet?" They think that the angels are ruling. Rather, it's the other way around. "Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to do service for the sake of them that shall inherit salvation?" Well, notice that the Lord rules through his true saints and angels. In Psalm 103 and 19, we're told, "The Lord hath established his throne in the heavens, and his kingdom ruleth over all. Bless the Lord, ye his angels, that are mighty in strength, that fulfill his word. Hearkening unto the voice of his word." In other words, you can speak in agreement with God's word, and the angels will bring it to pass. Verse 21. "Bless the Lord, all ye his hosts, ye ministers of his, that do his pleasure. Bless the Lord, all ye his works, in all places of his dominion. Bless the Lord, O my soul." So, let's exercise our authority over the evil in all branches of this government and otherwise. You know, we are the salt of the earth. If we lose our savor, we are good for nothing but to be trodden under the foot of men. Let me say that most of Christianity, it's exactly what will happen to them, because they do not exercise the authority of what was spoken to them to do. Luke 10 and 19 says, "Behold, I have given you authority to tread upon serpents and scorpions." That's poison. "And over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall in any wise hurt you." And Matthew 18 and 18 says, "Verily I say unto you, what things soever you shall bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and what things soever you shall loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven." And Psalm 149 and 6 says, "Let the high praises of God be in their mouth, and a two-edged sword in their hand, to execute vengeance upon the nations, and punishment upon the peoples, to bind their kings with chains, and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute upon them the judgment written. This honor have all his saints. Praise ye the Lord." So, of course, the saints do this at the direction of God. They don't do it on their own, okay? Pray and agree with me, and we command and we cast down the demons of faction, witchcraft, Satanism, murder, assassination, hatred, wrath, anarchy, lying, slandering, manipulation, destruction, deception, in the government and over the peoples. We send the angels forth to cast down the plots and the schemes of Satan and all his helpers. We command the fear of God upon the wicked. Paranoia and confusion is in their camps. We pray for protection and wisdom for Trump and the alliance and God's people. And God will be with you. So, here's another dream of reconciliation or judgment. You got a choice. It's reconciliation or judgment. And this was given to me on 11/20/21. And I want to emphasize the importance of getting rid of unforgiveness so that the Lord will hear our prayers and give us the benefits of the kingdom people. On November the 20th, I had a very real dream. I was telling many people to hurry and make things right with those that they were offended with or that were offended by them. I knew this did not include those who were offended with the gospel or correction for their sins, as it was with Jesus and John the Baptist. As you know, they were made war on by the people who wanted to continue in their sins, right? And it wasn't their fault. It was the enemy's fault. I was in the top of a tall building, and I was there to observe and report on the coming judgment on the wicked. Then an earthquake came and cracked the building down the middle. I believe this judgment represents the plagues that the deep state is going to release because we have dreams of many bitter people dying of the plague. But also great earthquakes are coming with the Lord and his man-child. As I observed, I saw and felt the side of the building under me begin to fall outward towards the ground. So it cracked in half, and half of it was falling away, right? It's a falling away. So it was falling outwards towards the ground. Just when it reached the ground, I jumped off, totally unscratched, and charged up and empowered to do the Lord's work. I observed that people in that side of the building were all dead. Okay. So the building cracked in half, and one part stayed standing, the other part was judged, right? We received a very similar dream of a house in the earlier part of the faction that was cracking down the middle and about to break and fall off with no support beneath it. Just kind of sounds just like this, doesn't it? The people on the left were stunted and angry at the people on the right, who were tall and glorious. And there was a door between the two sides, but there was no knob on the leftist side of the door, and they were mad that they couldn't get at the people on the right. So as long as your person stays right and glorious and tall, they cannot get at them. Who do they take out? The people that are just like them. This is how the body is being cleansed. And the people on the right had no knob either to be able to help the leftists who had to forgive or die. And that was the end of the dream. Now, in this case, the faction was judged, but in my latest dream, more than just the faction were judged. Jesus said, if we don't forgive, we are not forgiven. Not everybody in unforgiveness has faction. Faction is very terrible. It is very destructive to these people's families, to their minds, to everything. They're demon-possessed. But there are people that just don't forgive, and God doesn't forgive them, as Jesus said. So I went back to the part of the building that was still standing to witness to the survivors. They were all amazed at my testimony and greatly affected by it. And I believe that this represents the plagues the deep state is going to release, but also great earthquakes are coming with the Lord in his man-child. Matthew 5:21-26 says, "You have heard that it was said unto them of old time, Thou shalt not kill. And whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that every one who is angry with his brother shall be in danger of the judgment. And whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. And whosoever shall say, Thou fool, shall be in danger of the hell of fire. If therefore thou art offering thy gift at the altar, and there rememberest that thy brother has aught against thee, leave there thy gift before the altar, and go thy way. First be reconciled to thy brother, and then come and offer thy gift. Agree with thine adversary quickly while thou art with him in the way, lest haply the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and thou be cast into prison. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the last farthing. And of course, this is talking about in bondage, right? And Michael just related a dream that he had on the same night that I had mine, that I just shared. And in Michael's dream, I was driving a large bus over a suspension bridge which began to shake as with an earthquake. And when it stopped, I then drove on off the bridge. Well, here's that revelation that was given to Michael. And I put my interpretation in there. Michael Hare, 11/20/21. We called it Bridge Over Troubled Waters. I dreamed David was driving an empty red and black Trailways look-alike bus. And I was standing beside him. Well, I believe that this is an exhortation that we have a need for intercessors and warriors to do this job. There should be other people on that bus. We were going over a large suspension bridge. Suspension bridge, of course, is the most flexible in earthquakes and things like that. It would survive it better, obviously. Going over a large suspension bridge. Our work is between here and overseas, as you know. The bridge started shaking violently, like it would in a high wind or an earthquake. But the bridge stood fast. David pulled the bus over after a bit and stopped around 100 feet or so from the end of the bridge. And I got out to check things out while the bridge was still shaking. After a bit, David drove the bus off the bridge to the other side, and I ran off the bridge behind him. There was no harm to either one of us or the bus. In the next scene of the dream, I knew we were in tribulation. I'm saying not necessarily the tribulation. I asked Michael about this, and he said no. David and I walked up to two evil gangs of men. Well, you know, gangs, they're known for being very territorial, like the denominational preachers who fight the reformers over proselytes, right? And these represent factions and divisions in the church. And they're also known to be outlaws, but so are apostate preachers' outlaws. As far as obedience to the word, they add to it and take away from it at will, right? Which puts a curse on them, according to Jesus. So David walked into the midst of one gang, and I did the same with the other gang, speaking audibly in tongues. The tongues confused the men. Here we are again with the tongues. It's powerful. Some people say it's the least gift, but they don't quote the Bible when they say that. It's not the least gift. It's the one most commonly given to God's people because it's the most needed. I beg to differ. We have to say what the Scripture says. Speaking in tongues is to let the Spirit say and command what is needed. Romans 8:26, and in like manner the Spirit also helpeth our infirmity. For we know not how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered. Amen. We need it. We would boldly walk up to one gang member and touch him, and the power of God would set them free. Then another and another, until all of them had been set free. Well, the rival gangs were restored together. Notice that. The two gangs that were restored were spiritually typed in the Old Testament as Judah, who is the Spirit-filled church, and Israel, which is the non-Spirit-filled church. And that's because Judah had the temple of the Spirit's presence in their midst, and the northern ten tribes did not. And they rebelled, and they factioned against the house of David. Yeah. So, in Ezekiel 37, these two gangs were restored from their wars through the David ministries to become one flock with one shepherd. So this parable here has an awesome fulfillment. There was one man in particular, Michael said, who might have been a leader laying across what looked like a pallet of tan-looking sacks of something. He was cursing me, and when I touched him, a big smile broke out on his face, and he was completely delivered. There was laughter and love prevalent in both gangs when God had set them free. So the demons had to flee, right? Submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. Amen? So, they were cursing at us 1 minute and loving us the next. It was God setting them free and working his glorious and gracious love into these tribulation marauder gangs. And then I woke up. And these are the verses I got by faith at random for this dream. Luke 24, 49 through 53. And behold, I send forth the promise of my Father upon you. They will be filled with the Holy Spirit and peace. That's my thought, right? The promise of my Father upon you. Touching them was imparting Holy Spirit to them, right? But tarry ye in the city until you be clothed with power from on high. And he led them out until they were over against Bethany. And he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And it came to pass, while he blessed them, that he parted from them and was carried up into heaven. And 52, and they worshipped him and returned to Jerusalem with great joy and were continually in the temple blessing God. Yes, as one people now, right? Oh, thank you, Jesus. What an awesome revelation. And here's a portion of Eve's dream. It was called UBM Protected by Special Ops Angels. On 6/1/21. I dreamed that local UBM was encamped outdoors near the large gray stone wall that I've seen in previous dreams. This wall represents sanctification, which separates us from the world and their wicked practices. And we are the stones that are fitted together tightly. And they are gray, representing our crucified life of death to self. Amen. Our camp was at peace and was lit by a light that came from overhead. The righteous have a covenant of peace through the light from heaven called the Word and the Holy Spirit. Isaiah 54 and 10. For the mountains may depart, and the hills may be removed, but my loving kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, that hath mercy upon thee. Numbers 25:12-13 says, wherefore say, behold, I will give unto him my covenant of peace, and it shall be unto him and to his seed after him, the covenant of an everlasting priesthood, because he was jealous for his God and made atonement for the children of Israel. And Ezekiel 37:26. Moreover, I will make a covenant of peace with them. It shall be an everlasting covenant with them, and I will place them and multiply them and will set my sanctuary in the midst of them forevermore. Well, okay, that wasn't in the natural true because it didn't happen forevermore back then, but it is talking about today forevermore. Okay, we had the white pot blessing table set up and our chairs for a meeting. Well, white tables represent feeding on the pure word. And the wicked faction hate the word and the God who wrote it and the people who stand for it convicts them of their sin. Therefore, in Isaiah 57 and 21, there is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. Mm-hmm. Everyone was happy and in peaceful fellowship with each other. Psalm 133, 1 through 3 says, Behold, how good and how pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. And let me say, woe unto anybody that wants to destroy that unity. They will be destroyed. Verse 2, It's like the precious oil upon the head that ran down upon the beard, even Aaron's beard, that came down upon the skirt of his garments. Like the dew of Hermon that cometh down upon the mountains of Zion, for there the Lord commended the blessing, even life forevermore. So this peaceful unity brings a blessing. Right. Yes. Peaceful fellowship will be God's gift to Zion the bride, right? Isaiah 54 and 10. For the mountains may depart, and the hills may be removed, but my loving kindness shall not depart from thee, neither shall my covenant of peace be removed, says the Lord, that hath mercy upon thee. And verse 13. And all thy children shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be the peace of thy children. And Isaiah 55 and 12. For you shall go out with joy. And this is speaking, of course, out of Babylonish bondage. You'll go out with joy and be led forth with peace. The mountains and the hills shall break forth before you into singing, and all the trees of the field shall clap their hands. Isaiah 57 and 2. He entereth into peace. They rest in their beds, each one that walketh in his righteousness. And down in verse 21, There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. So the factious people who had been driven from us in bitterness and hatred because of their own sin were camped about 100 yards or so north of our location. I believe 100 here represents 100% complete separation from Zion the bride, whom they consider their enemies because of their demon possession. The beast enemy attacks Zion from the north, as in Jeremiah 6, 22 through 30. Thus saith the Lord, Behold, a people cometh from the north country, and a great nation shall be stirred up from the uttermost parts of the earth. They lay hold on bow and spear. They are cruel and have no mercy. Their voice roareth like the sea, and they ride upon horses, every one set in array as a man to the battle. Against thee, O daughter of Zion. Verse 27. I have made thee a trier and a fortress among my people, that thou mayest know and try their way. Yes, that reminds us of Mark 12 and 10. Have you not read even this scripture? The stone which the builders rejected, the same was made the head of the corner. So the wicked, after they have crucified the righteous, are ruled over by the very people that they have assaulted. Okay, 28. They are all grievous revolters, going about with slanderers. They are brass and iron. They, all of them, deal corruptly. The bellows blow fiercely. The lead is consumed of the fire. In vain do they go on refining, for the wicked are not plucked away. So God, you know, after a people doesn't accept any refining by the Word of God, God removes them, because then they become leaven to the body. So that's what this curse of faction comes upon these people, to remove them. Refuse silver shall men call them, right? Because the Lord hath rejected them. Rejected in the New Testament sometimes is the word adokimos, and it means reprobated. Yeah. So the northern army who attacked Zion is going to be destroyed. Psalm 101 and 5 says, "Whoso privily slandereth his neighbor, him will I destroy." And Joel 2, talking about the northern army, in verse 15 through 17, says, "Blow the trumpet in Zion. Sanctify a fast. Call a solemn assembly. Gather the people. Sanctify the assembly. Assemble the old men. Gather the children and those that suck the breasts. Let the bridegroom go forth from his chamber, and the bride out of her closet." Oh, this is the revealing of the bride and the groom that were previously hidden. They're going to be revealed. In other words, they're going to be chosen and revealed. "Let the priests, the ministers of the Lord, weep between the porch and the altar. Let them say, spare thy people, O Lord, and give not thy heritage to reproach, that the nations should rule over them. Wherefore should they say among the peoples, where is their God? Then was the Lord jealous for his land, and had pity on his people." And in verse 20, "But I will remove far off from you the northern army, and will drive it into a land barren and desolate, its forepart into the eastern sea, and its hinder part into the western sea." Well, it sounds kind of like the Red Sea judgment upon the wicked who were chasing God's people into the wilderness, right? Yes. The Lord has used that typology many times with us. "And its stench shall come up, and its ill savor shall come up, because it hath done great things." So they were all dead on the seashore, right? Judged by God, because they were coming against God's people. "It was dark and shadowy over and around their camp, and everything was chaotic and in disarray. I could hear shouting and gunfire, with many explosions and the whiz of bullets flying. It reminded me of the night fire training courses that we practiced on in basic training when I joined the army." And she gave Isaiah 57, 14 through 21. "And he will say, cast ye up, prepare the way, take up the stumbling block out of the way of my people. For thus saith the high and the lofty one that inhabiteth eternity, whose name is holy, I dwell in the high and holy place with him also that is of a contrite and humble spirit, to revive the spirit of the humble and to revive the heart of the contrite." Verse 19, "I create the fruit of the lips, peace, peace to him that is far off and to him that is near, says the Lord, and I will heal him. But the wicked are like the troubled sea, for it cannot rest, and its waters cast up mire and dirt. There is no peace, saith my God, to the wicked. In this dream, I was standing at the perimeter of the UBM camp, looking out across the way to the factious camp. It was like I was seeing in the spirit, because no one else in UBM camp was aware or seemed concerned about what was happening. It is very peaceful to miss out on the whole battle while the angels take out the enemy, right? Yeah. So she went on to say, Father gives us prophetic dreams and revelations to be able to warn our brethren so that we can do spiritual warfare against the demons in our enemies. I was watching a bunch of tracer bullets flying towards our direction and orange basketballs with bombs hidden inside them being launched towards us as well. The basketball bombs, she said, represent the juvenile mentality of the faction and their slander and games that they like to play. But they were all being supernaturally stopped, and they were either falling short of our camp or were being turned back upon the factious camp by two special ops soldiers, which we knew were angels, that stood guarding the UBM camp. Well, the Lord said of those who curse us, I will curse those who curse thee. Well, notice that the wicked curse themselves. Because they curse the righteous, God sends the curse on them. So, we're not to personally curse our enemies, but to pray for them. They're automatically cursing themselves. Romans 12 and 14, bless them that persecute you, bless and curse not. And verse 19, avenge not yourselves, beloved, but give place unto the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance belongeth unto me, I will recompense, saith the Lord. But if thine enemy hunger, feed him. If he thirst, give him to drink. For in so doing, thou shalt heap coals of fire upon his head. So, we know that God can speak prophetically through the righteous to judge the wicked, as he has done all through scriptures. The Spirit of God spoke through Paul and turned apostates over to Satan. 1 Corinthians 5, to deliver such a one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord. So notice it's for a good purpose, and it was by the Spirit of God, not Paul personally. And 1 Timothy 1 and 20, of whom is Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I delivered unto Satan, that they might be taught not to blaspheme. Meaning to speak against God or others. That's what blaspheme means. You know, they don't know they're blasphemers, but they are when they speak against others, especially when they slander others. So we should not do this to defend ourselves. In other words, turn people over to Satan or whatever. It's not legal for us to do this to defend ourselves or to fight with others. We have to be neutral in this regard. And also, we do not need to turn one over to Satan when we can obviously see that they've already been turned over by God. So, the Spirit of God spoke curses on blasphemers or railers through David, and they are still true. Psalm 109 and 1. On down. It says, for the chief musician, a psalm of David, hold not thy peace, O God of my praise. For the mouth of the wicked and the mouth of deceit have they opened against me. They have spoken unto me with lying tongue. They have compassed me about also with words of hatred, and fought against me without a cause. For my love they are my adversaries, but I give myself unto prayer. And they have rewarded me evil for good, and hatred for my love. No, whosoever returneth evil for good, evil will not depart from his tent, the Bible says. Right? Set thou a wicked man over him, and let an adversary, Satan, stand at his right hand. In other words, turned over to Satan. So this prophecy, this wasn't from David, it was from God. It was a prophecy of what would happen to the people that did this, right? And when we speak a prophetic word, that's how God brings it to pass. So you can't blame the person who is merely speaking for God, you see. When he is judged, let him come forth guilty, and let his prayer be turned into sin. Let his days be few, and let another take his office, as was spoken about Judas, who was inhabited by Satan. Yes. So, to the railers and the cursers of God, we see verse 17, yea, he loved cursing, and it came unto him. Their curses returned upon their own heads, as angels were doing. And he delighted not in blessing, and it was far from him. He clothed himself also with cursing as with a garment, and it came into his innermost parts like water. So the curses that they speak come into them. This is the plan of God. You don't have to curse somebody who's cursing you. It's forbidden. They curse themselves. And I'm going to tell you what I know. I know that the demons in them tell them, oh, they're cursing you. Because the demons don't want them to know that their curses are coming out of their own mouth. Yeah. And it came into his inward parts like water, and like oil into his bones. Let it be unto him as the raiment wherewith he covereth himself, and for the girdle wherewith he is girded continually. This is the reward of mine adversaries from the Lord, and of them that speak evil against my soul. And then down in verse 28, it says, let them curse, but bless thou. Yes, bless thou. Let them curse, bless thou. And when they arise, they shall be put to shame, but thy servant shall rejoice. And Isaiah 54 and 17 says, no weapon that's formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. So the wicked who judge the righteous will condemn themselves because of this promise from God. And this is the heritage of the servants of the Lord, and their righteousness, which is of me, says the Lord. So the two special ops soldiers had short military haircuts and were wearing the standard issue camouflage, billed caps on their heads, and were dressed in gray urban combat BDUs, meaning battle dress uniforms. And they had matching backpacks with supplies and weapons to counter the attacks of our enemies. I knew immediately that they were angels because of their large, pure, white wings that were spread out to each side underneath their backpacks. Well, we know that wings are a symbol that people recognize as angels. They're Wings were also part of the protection barrier that they provided for the UBM camp. Yes, as Sandy saw, winged angels came down and wrapped their wings around the people of God to protect them from the judgments that were coming. Well, Psalm 91 and 4, He will cover thee with His pinions. Wings, right? And under His wings shalt thou take refuge. His truth is a shield and a buckler. Since their backs were to me, I couldn't see exactly what they were doing to repel the enemy fire or what weapons they were using upon the enemy's camp. All I saw was their arm movements, which indicated some type of invisible bow and arrow weaponry. Psalm 7, 9 through 16 says, Oh, let the wickedness of the wicked come to an end, but establish thou the righteous. For the righteous God trieth the minds and hearts. My shield is with God, who saveth the upright in heart. God is a righteous judge, yea, a God that hath indignation every day. And if a man turn not, which means repent, right, he will whet his sword. He hath bent his bow and made it ready. He hath also prepared for him the instruments of death. He maketh his arrows fiery shafts. Behold, he travaileth with iniquity. Yea, he hath conceived mischief and brought forth falsehood. He hath made a pit and digged it, and is fallen into the ditch which he made. So notice, their curses come back upon them. Their traps come back upon them. Everything evil that they do against the righteous comes back upon them. And is fallen into the ditch which he made. Uh-oh. So he makes a ditch and he falls into it. His mischief shall return upon his own head, and his violence shall come down upon his own pate. I was noticing that every time the enemy launched a basketball bomb towards us, the angels would hold up their hands in a stop gesture, and the bombs would reverse course and fall back into the enemy's camp and explode upon them, causing much chaos and casualties. Of course, their demons tell them that it's us throwing these. I know that because I've heard it right out of their mouths. But it's not. It's the angels of God sending back the curse that they send, the trap that they lay, etc. The two angels looked like traditional traffic cops, but instead of directing traffic, they were directing the bullets and the bombs. Yeah, like Daniel in the lion's den was kept safe while his enemies who plotted against him and their families were devoured by them. Psalm 141, 9 and 10 says, Keep me from the snare which they have laid for me, and from the gins or traps of the workers of iniquity. Let the wicked fall into their own nets, whilst that I withal escape. And Psalm 149 through 11 says, As for the head of those that compass me about, let the mischief of their own lips cover them. Let burning coals fall upon them. Let them be cast into the fire and into deep pits, whence they shall not arise. An evil speaker shall not be established in the earth. Evil shall hunt the violent man to overthrow him. And Psalm 35, 7 and 8 says, For without cause have they hid for me a net in a pit. Without cause have they digged a pit for my soul. Let destruction come upon him unawares, and let his net that he hath hid catch himself. With destruction let him fall therein. So there, what they curse out of their mouth comes upon them, and what they trap they lay comes upon them. It's coming out of them. Their curse is coming out of them. Psalm 37, 14 and 15 says, The wicked have drawn out the sword and have bent their bow to cast down the poor and needy, to slay such as are upright in the way. Their sword shall enter into their own heart, and their bows shall be broken. Psalm 57 and 6, They have prepared a net for my steps. My soul is bowed down. They have digged a pit before me, and they're fallen into the midst thereof themselves. Selah. Proverbs 26 and 27, Whoso diggeth the pit shall fall therein, and he that rolleth a stone, it shall return upon him. Proverbs 28 and 10, Whoso causeth the upright to go astray in an evil way, he shall fall himself into his own pit, but the perfect shall inherit good. Matthew 7, 1 through 3 says, Judge not that you be not judged, for with what measure, with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. So again, it all comes back, right? And with what measure you meet, it shall be measured unto you. And why beholdest thou the mote that is in thy brother's eye, but considerest not the beam that is in thine own eye? Most of what the factious throw at us is demons of faction and witchcraft, etc. But whatever they throw, it returns upon them, because God has said it. Amen. Galatians 6 and 7, Be not deceived, God's not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. Well, some people think they're going to get away with it. They've gotten away with it for a certain amount of time, but they think they're going to get away, but it ain't going to happen. The Word of God says it's not going to happen. Look at the deep state. They thought they would be ruling forever. No, they're not. After witnessing this, I walked over to David and was reporting to him everything that I was seeing. I don't remember what David replied, but he seemed pleased that the angels were doing a good job of protecting us. And then I woke up. Well, we know Psalm 91, 1 through 12 speaks. He that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. So, this secret place, which is abiding in Christ, Jesus is the secret place of the Most High. This secret place is where we abide when we walk by faith in Him. Notice all these promises. We don't have to worry about our enemies. They are the ones that have to worry. And they don't have sense enough to do that, because the demons have deceived them that they will prosper and they will ultimately win. But ultimately, that is not ever so. So, he that dwelleth in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty. That's a place of safety. Verse 2 says, I will say of the Lord, He's my refuge and my fortress. You remember Annette Rich's testimony in her revelation? She was saying that the Lord was her refuge, that He was her fortress, that He would take care of this. We know that the Bible is very clear that Jesus became accursed for us so that we could have Abraham's blessings. And the Bible says Abraham was blessed in all things. All things. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress. Don't say of the Lord, the curse has come upon you. You will be tested. Don't say it's come upon you. It came upon Jesus so that you could escape. I will say of the Lord, He is my refuge and my fortress, my God, in whom I trust. Amen. For He will deliver thee. Okay, so you can say it, and because you do say it, you're justified by faith, and because you're justified by faith, you get the benefits of God's kingdom, which is verse 3. For He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler. Oh yes, they love to lay traps, but God will ultimately deliver you. Yeah. He will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. There it is. The deadly pestilence. Father, we thank You, Lord, that no deadly pestilence will come upon Your righteous people because they believe Your word and Your promises, and they confess You is their, as their refuge and their fortress, and that they trust You. Amen. So, Lord, we're thanking You, Lord, that You are going to provide for Your people abundantly the provision of safety in the midst of the hatred of many peoples. Amen. He will cover thee with His pinions. There's those wings, right? And under His wings thou shalt take refuge. Now, nobody's really said that the Lord has wings. Actually, they are a symbol because, wings are only useful in oxygen or an atmosphere state, you know, where you've got some kind of grip on them with the wings, right? But when you're in the spirit realm, there's no such state as that. Wings won't help you a bit. But you can travel anywhere you want to go in the spirit realm without any wings. It's like flying. So it's symbolism being used. And God's wings, by the way, are those angels. He will cover thee with His pinions, and under His wings thou shalt take refuge. His truth is a shield and a buckler. In other words, it will shield you from all the enemy's fiery darts and all of his traps and so on and so forth. So confess Him. Notice it at the beginning of this. You confess Him before men. I will confess you before the Father. Jesus is the high priest of our confession. With the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. Right? And so, salvation, I've said many times in the scriptures, is used for all kinds of things. It's not just eternal salvation. It's circumstances, it's situations, it's sickness, it's so on and so forth. You're saved from all of these things because of what Jesus did at the cross. Salvation is very big, and religion has made it very small. So, under His wings you take refuge, and His truth is a shield and a buckler. And you're not to be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day. Don't fear. Fear not. How many times did Jesus say that? Fear not. How many times does the Scripture say that? Well, I've heard 365 times. I don't know if that's true. And I'm not sure it's a direct quote either, but it teaches this 365 times. So, not be afraid for the terror by night, nor the arrow that flieth by day. For the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. You are not to be afraid. You're forbidden to be afraid, because fear is faith in the devil and the curse which the Bible says Jesus took. If you don't believe the Bible, how can you have its benefits? Amen. And he says in verse 7, 1,000 shall fall at thy side, and 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. How do you know, Lord? Well, this is for the person who is confessing that he is their fortress and their deliverer, and therefore the Lord knows that it shall not come nigh thee. Oh, it's so sad that so many people, it does come nigh, because they don't know what God has said, nor do they know you have to stand upon it and not walk by sight. Confess him before men, so he can confess you before the Father. He's the high priest of your confession. He has to have an offering as a high priest to bring it before the Father. Are you confessing that you're not under the curse? Are you confessing that your sicknesses were borne away by the Lord Jesus? Are you confessing that your sins are gone? Are you confessing that you look in the mirror and you see Jesus, because he lives in you now and he's not worried at all about pestilence? 1,000 shall fall at thy side, 10,000 at thy right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee. Only with thine eyes thou shalt behold and see the reward of the wicked. For thou, O Lord, art my refuge. Here it is. For thou, O Lord, art my refuge, which is a place of hiding, a place of safety. And then it tells this person, thou hast made the Most High thy habitation. Thou hast made the Most High thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy tent. Amen. Look at the promise. It's not just to anybody. Some people say it doesn't work. Well, you know why it doesn't work? They don't confess it. He tells you from the very beginning what you must do to have this. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress, my God in whom I trust. Say it. When you see the plague falling on people around you, say it. Say it. Believe it. Do not accept the lie. The devil is going to come to you and say, oh, you're going to get that because look, you know, they just breathed on you or coughed in your face or whatever, you know. For thou, O Lord, art my refuge. Thou hast made the Most High thy habitation. There shall no evil befall thee, neither shall any plague come nigh thy tent, for he will give his angels charge over thee. Who does he give his angels charge over? Those who confess him before men. If he says, if you confess him before men, he will confess you before his Father and before the holy angels. Oh, my. You need the favor of God through his angels. So he gives his angels charge over those who confess him before men. And he gives his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Oh my. All thy ways. They shall bear thee up in their hands, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone. Now, a lot of people have never had their foot dashed against a stone, but this is a much bigger statement here, obviously. He's saying even these least little things won't happen to you, you know. So we need to confess the Lord that these plagues won't come nigh our tent. We need to confess our faith in him as our refuge. We're abiding in him. Is there any danger to him? Well, neither is there any danger to you if you're abiding in him. You know, if his words abide in you, ask whatever you will, and it shall be done unto you. Right? If you abide in me, and my word abides in you, ask whatever you will, it shall be done unto you. John 15:7. Listen to that. Listen. If you abide in me, and I abide in you, ask whatever you will. Somebody say, oh, is it will of God? No, he said, you will, whatever you will, and it shall be done unto you. The condition was, if you abide in him, and his words abide in you. Look at this word here. Are you paying attention? Supernatural power in this word. And all other promises of God are totally null and dead until you accept them and speak them yourself. Amen? Wow. See, look how much God's people miss out on. Because they don't know what faith is. They don't know it's the substance of the thing hoped for. Your faith coming out of your mouth in words is the substance of the thing hoped for while the evidence is not yet seen. You don't need it till you need it, right? But you want the substance, right? It's like, okay, God build me a building. And he says, where's the bricks? Well, that's what the bricks are. Your faith spoken. Speak your faith. Speak what God says. You know, we're to agree with God in everything. If we say what God says, we'll have what he says. We have to cast down our vain imaginations. He said, whatsoever you bind on earth is bound in heaven, and whatsoever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. Sad thing to say, but a lot of people loose their curses upon them. They listen to the devil, and they loose the curses upon them. The devil knows when he has a right. Where does that right come from? Because the Lord said, what you bind on earth is bound in heaven. What you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. When you loose it with your faith, even if it's negative faith, you are loosing the devil. Oh, thank you, Father. Be careful what you say. We have a really good book about the tongue conquering the curse. Wish everybody would read that book and understand, because the curses come out of your mouth, as we just saw. You know? People wonder why they're under this curse and that curse and the other curse. It's because they believe they're under it. They have the power and the authority of Jesus in the promises to bind the curses or to loose the curses, to bind the demons or to loose the demons, to bind the angels or to loose the angels. Your words will do it. Your agreement will do it. You're justified by faith in believing what God says. Abraham was believing for a son, and he was justified by faith. It didn't have anything to do with salvation, but God counted him righteous because he believed him. So, you know what that counts for? Everything. Every promise is true. And people say, well, I don't know why they don't come to pass. They don't come to pass because you don't believe. Faith is the substance of the thing hoped for, while the evidence is not yet seen. You believe something, or you disbelieve it. If you disbelieve it, you're loosing the demons on you, and you're binding the angels. We can't afford to do this. We'll lose this battle. We have to learn how to fight. We need to fight the good fight of the faith and lay hold on life eternal. Oh, Father, we ask, Lord, that your people learn this lesson. It's so powerful. Lord, thank you that the demons and their plagues are bound from us simply because we have made the Most High our refuge by claiming him as our refuge. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge and my fortress. I will say of the Lord, my God in whom I trust. And what does it say? For he will deliver thee from the snare of the fowler and from the deadly pestilence. He will deliver thee. I will say of the Lord, he is my refuge. Say it and believe it. People make fun of this, and they destroy their own lives and the lives of others because they're making fun of something that's totally scriptural. And because they don't believe in faith, and because they don't have faith. Well, Father, we thank you so much, Lord, for this lesson today from your word. And we love you and we appreciate you so much, Lord. We thank you that we don't have anything to worry about or to fear, except fear itself, as has been said. Lord, let us not speak unbelieving words out of our mouth. We know what your promises say. Let us agree with what you say. We bind Satan and all of his attempts to bring destruction to us and our families. We claim the benefits of the kingdom of God. And we thank you, Lord, that we abide in him in the secret place of the Most High. Amen. Oh, glory be to God. Well, thank you, saints, for joining us today. God bless you and keep you. And we'll do this again very soon. Good night.